Hi, this is Jerry Hicks, and this is the Science of Deliberate Creation, and this is a recording entitled Health, Weight, and Mind. It's the fifth recording in Abraham's second Special Subjects album, and it was originally received in 1989.
Good morning.
Good morning, Abraham.
We are happy to chat about this most important topic.
It is.
And you are calling it?
Health, weight, and mind.
There is not a subject that is more upon the minds of those who are interacting here in physical form than the subjects that have to do with their own physical apparatus. And the reason for that is that you are physically focused, physically perceptual beings, and everything that you are perceiving is through the format of this physical apparatus. And so it is logical that the condition of, or the perceived condition of, or the physical sensations that are flooding through would play a very big part in the way that you as individuals perceive this physical world in which you are physically focused. Your perception about your bodies is confused. You have been given so much information from so many different sources that is really contradictory to that which we know to be and to the laws of the universe as we know them to be, that we are extremely happy to spend some time here talking about you and your bodies relative to the greater picture.
Good.
For we believe that in hearing what we will offer here, that all who are wanting will have a clearer understanding of how they can be the healthy being, the being that is physically fit, the being whose body looks as they want it to look, the being that is whole in a sense, in terms of body and mind. In order to bring all of this into proper perspective, we must, of course, bring another part of you into the picture. In other words, we must include a far greater part of you, the inner part of you, into this picture before we can do justice to the topic. For it is our knowing that what you are seeking, while you think it is health, or perfect body conditions, perfect size and shape, perfect mental condition, it is our knowing that what you really are seeking is the perfect balance between you and you. A harmony between your desire and your experience. You use as your gauge for wellness something that is very difficult to utilize effectively, and that is you try to use the standards that have been established by something that is outside of you. In this physical world in which you are focused, it is the custom to choose some standard and say, that is best or that is normal. And anything less than that or anything different from that is substandard or abnormal. And in that comparison, in that trying to catalog yourself or categorize yourself or pigeonhole yourselves, almost all of you get out of balance in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that out of balance position, it is not easy for you to get back into balance. What we would like to assist you in understanding is that there is not one state of being that is the correct one or even the most wanted one. That there are many great varieties of states of physical apparatus that are sought and have been intended by you as you emerged into this physical body. And if it had been your intent to all be the same, it is our promise that more of you would be the same, but you are not. You come forth with all sorts of varieties of size and shape and flexibility and dexterity. Some are stronger, while others are more agile. You come with great variety, adding all sorts of differences that are of tremendous advantage to you as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You come forth in your great variety to add balance to this time and place. And so we would like to encourage you, rather than looking at yourselves as most of you do and acknowledging that you are lacking in this characteristic or in that characteristic, we would like to assist you in looking toward the advantages of that which you are. In other words, spend a greater part of your time as you are assessing or analyzing your physical apparatus by looking for the advantages that it offers, not just to you, but to the balance of all that is.
Mm-hmm. I recall that when I used to work out on the trapeze, with a circus, I was too heavy to be what they call a flyer, and I was too light to be what they call a catcher. So it really wasn't my place to be comfortably unless we got a heavier catcher or lighter flyer, so to speak.
Good. But and you are understanding what we are talking about.
Exactly.
Here.
So I was still an aerialist, but I did what we call an aerial bar act, where nobody had to catch me or I didn't have to catch anyone. So, but I didn't feel myself lacking because I didn't think that I should have been bigger or should have been smaller. I just found something I like to do that still gave me the same general feeling.
Good, that is excellent.
So I guess could we not look at our weight then and our states of mind and our states of mental ability or talent the same way? If each of us would look at ourselves as perfect?
That is really the offering that we are wanting you to hear here, because anything else does not work for you. If you use some other standard and you say, that is what I should be or that is what I would like to be, but this is what I am, and what I am is so much less than what I want to be, your attitude about yourself, your perspective about yourself, is coming from a position of such strong lack that what happens is you continue to attract more of what you do not want unto you. For by law of attraction, that which you are giving your attention to, or more correctly stated, you are attracting unto you by virtue of the thought that you are giving and by virtue of the feeling that you are having as you are giving thought. And so as you are focused upon your lack, and then you say, I'm going to be there someday, but where I am is right here now, what you are attracting unto you is what here is here and now. And that is the reason that most of you, in your dissatisfaction of who you are, do not vary from that unsatisfactory place very far or very often. In other words, you keep returning to that place that you don't want to be.
Well, so are you ready for a question here?
We're wanting to offer a little information here,
okay,
that we believe is essential to the understanding of everything that is coming beyond it.
Okay.
As physical creatures, you have become very convinced that it is through your doing that all things happen. And so you are very eager to respond in action to all things. And what we are wanting you to understand is that it is not through your action that the majority of things are coming to you. It is through the balance of thought that you are offering that you are creating your experience. What happens is you are offering thought every waking moment. And much of the time, the thought that you are offering is in response to things that you do not want. You were born into a society that right away began saying to you, watch out for this, watch out for that. And so most of you have taken very early on in your physical experience a very guarded stance. And from that guarded stance, you're in a place of lack. As you say, that will not happen to me, you are in a place of guardedness and in a place of negative attraction. Your society has trained you to be that way. You have a war on poverty and a war against drugs and a war against AIDS and a war against cancer. Most of you really believe that the way to get what you want is to defeat what you don't want. And so you give so much of your attention toward pushing away from you what you do not want, where if you could see law of attraction as we see it, if you could accept yourselves as the attractors by virtue of the thought that you are holding, you would understand what a backwards approach most of you are taking. As you say, I am sick and I want not to be sick, and so I will beat this illness, I will win, I will take this action and I will defeat this illness, you are, from your position of guardedness and defensiveness and negative emotion, you are holding that illness unto you. Your natural state is one of wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are sick, it is because you have been resisting wellness. And how would you resist wellness? By giving attention to illness. It is really as simple as that. Every subject is really two subjects. Most of you do not understand that. There is the subject of what you are wanting, and there is the subject of its lack upon every subject. Regarding your body, which is such a sensitive issue, since every thought that you think is filtered through your perspective of this body, if this body doesn't feel the way you want it to feel, or if it doesn't look the way you want it to look, it is very natural that a large number of your thoughts, a very imbalanced portion of your thoughts, would be slanted toward the lack side of the equation rather than toward the truly desired side of the equation. And that is really what we are wanting to point out here. From your place of lack, you will attract only more of that. That is the reason that most diets do not work. You are aware of your fat. You are aware of your body looking the way you don't want it to look. And so when it gets bad enough that you can't stand it anymore, either from your own perspective or because others are scowling at you, then you say, I cannot bear this negative place anymore. I'm going to go on a diet. And I'm going to get rid of all of this stuff that I do not want. And yet your attention is given to the stuff that you do not want. And so you hold it unto you. You hold it unto you. The way to get to where you are wanting to be is to give your full attention to what you do want, not to give your attention to what you do not want.
I have a dear friend and my mentor in business, who is a man of just brilliant help. Esther and I were visiting a few years ago at their home, and then the morning we got up, he said, well, I can't have breakfast with you. And although his wife had a beautiful breakfast, he said, because so many of the men at my age in this area are dying from a certain type of disease. And he said, so I've just volunteered to just go down once a month and have this examination so they can track it. And so, and he said, I'm in perfect health. He said, but if I can be of any help to those others, he said, I'm willing to do it. Well, it seemed like only a matter of weeks that we got a call from him or his wife saying, I've got it. And so his health has never been the same since, a few years ago. So is that same kind of thing, that even though he wasn't afraid of it, just focusing on it without fear created it in his system?
The first attention to it, in other words, it was his intent to be a value for others. And so he allowed them to probe and poke and look. And in the probing and poking and looking, he received enough stimulation of thought from the others to make him aware of the possibility, not only the possibility, the probability.
Mm-hmm.
And so as they planted within him the seed of probability, then with the probing and the poking and the looking, his body responded to what then became the balance of his thought, you see. And it is a wonderful example that you have offered, because that disease was not within him until the attention to the disease was within him. And once the attention to the disease was within him, then his body responded very amicably in kind, you see.
Is that okay? So, but how much can we toy with these thoughts? For instance, you can watch on television an offer to come down for a free examination of some part of your body. And if a person says, oh, well, I think I'll just go do that. I feel fine, but why not, since it's free? What are the chances of that leading on into what you're talking about, a stimulation of thought and eventually a probing?
Nearly 100%. That is the reason that with all of the attention to illness in your society, that your diseases are running rampant. All of this medical technology, all of the tools, all of the discoveries, and there are more people that are critically ill today than ever before in all of the history of your world. And it is because of the attention to the illness. Someone said perhaps we are too smart for our own good. You said, how much can we toy
right.
with it? And we say, you are very particular about what you eat and what you wear and what you drive, and yet you are not particular about what you think. And we would encourage you to be particular about what you think, to keep your thoughts on the side of the subject that is in harmony with your wanting. In other words, think about wellness, not about lack of it. Uh-huh. Think about being as you want to be rather than the lack of it. And that guardedness, that place of defensiveness, you see, most of you have this very deep-seated belief within you that you are vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
You have been born into a society that believed it was vulnerable. And so almost from the day you were born, they began saying, watch out for this, watch out for that, watch out for this, until eventually you became wary. And in that guarded position, you are in a place of negative attraction. It is really as simple as that.
Okay, another story. Another dear friend of ours, relatively recently, her mother-in-law, health had really worsened, and so they made a special room in their house, built a room on their house for her to come and stay. And so they brought her there. But while she was there, she spoke, when we visited there, she just spoke almost constantly about how bad she felt and how bad her health was and how unhappy she was with life and about this surgery and that surgery. And then during that process, then our friend's mother, who's 85 years old, came out just to visit for the holidays. Came out to visit for the holidays and had never been in a hospital in her life before. And within a week almost of staying in that house with this other lady who was speaking of illness, the mother then now health went just plummeted down to where now the first one is in a nursing home. The mother who had never been in a hospital before is now incapacitated in a nursing home. And our friend who, had, as far as I know, had been in brilliant health is now in critical health situation. Could all that come from that stimulation of thought from the first person that came into the home?
The potential for illness or wellness lies within all of you at all times.
Uh-huh.
And whatever you give your attention to begins to foster within you the manifestation of that. Thought is very powerful. You see, every cell in your body is really a thinking mechanism. It is vibrating, pulsing with thought energy.
Uh-huh.
And the cells of your body are communicating one with another, and technically are communicating with that which is beyond you, although you as the thinker of this physical apparatus are the greatest, by far the greatest influencer of what takes place within your body. If you are offering no thought at all about the condition of your physical apparatus, which you would be a very rare individual to be in that position, but if you were offering no thought, if you were really neutral upon
yes.
that subject, then the cells of your body would be taking their stimulation from whatever they were picking up from that which is around. However, when you are thinking relative to your own physical condition, your thoughts are thousands upon thousands of times more powerful than the thought that the cells of your body would be picking up aside from that. And so when someone comes into your experience that stimulates your thought
uh-huh.
so that your thought is predominantly upon illness rather than wellness, upon lack of well-being rather than upon well-being, where you are in a place where you are feeling vulnerable or defensive or even angry, then the cells of your body begin to respond to the balance of that thought. And yes, it is possible that in a matter of weeks or even days or even hours that this negative process could begin with the very strong stimulation of negative thought. Everything that you are living is as a result of the thought that you are thinking, and there is not an exception to that. But what happens as you see physical evidence around you, very often that physical evidence seems bigger. It seems realer to you than thought. You say things to us such as, Abraham, this is really real. This is not just thought. This is really real. As if what is really real and thought are two separate things, you see. And so you let the physical evidence that you see before you that is nothing more than the manifestation of somebody else's thought, you let their physical evidence then frighten you and make you feel more vulnerable. We say to you, there is not a physical apparatus, no matter what the state of negative degeneration, that could not turn around now and receive perfect wellness or perfect well-being if you could hold your thoughts only upon that. But it really takes an understanding of the way you are creating. If you could understand that your body is responding to what you are thinking, and if you could hold your thoughts where you want them to be, all of you would be well.
Another thing I'd like to comment on, just an observation. In my earlier years, there were major diseases, tuberculosis and polio, it was called, that we hear very little of anymore. But we're not short of diseases, because now we have heart disease and cancer that we almost never heard of back then. And in the other side of our system, in those days we had syphilis and gonorrhea that was talked about tremendously and experienced tremendously. We don't hear much of those, but we're not out of sexual diseases. Now we have AIDS and herpes that stay foremost in the news. What goes on that makes this apparent creation of new diseases or new major diseases along the way?
It is your attention to lack. It is your feeling of vulnerability that will forever bring forth something else to feel vulnerable about. You cannot focus upon the conquering of disease without giving your attention to disease.
Uh-huh.
Now, there are many who would argue with us. They would say, Abraham, what about all of these wonderful cures that have come forth? And we say, the cures have come forth from those who are focused upon solution. The diseases come forth by those who are focused upon disease. And so, yes, we applaud those who are creating the vaccines and the solution to disease. And there will forever be those who are focused upon wellness that will create those processes to conquer the illness. What we are teaching is wellness. In other words, we are wanting you to understand that you do not have to create a disease in order to create wellness. The wellness is your natural state. You are not knowing how it is that you are getting sick for the most part. We are knowing that it is because of your attention to sickness that you are getting sick. That it is your basic feeling of vulnerability rather than an understanding that your natural state is one of wellness.
I became aware very early in life that if I cut or scratched my hand or leg or knee, that I could just almost sit and watch it heal. I mean, it would heal so fast. There was a healing began within 5 minutes. It was obvious to see. And then in a very short time, there was nothing left to see, unless it was really a deep wound that left a scar. But then it was really healed. And so
you
I knew that...
You are speaking of a body that is a body that is made up of cells that are responding to your overwhelming belief in wellness.
Right.
In other words, that is what causes a body to heal, is its natural awareness that it is a well-being. But a body that has been surrounded by thought of illness, the cells of that body would be responding differently. In order to understand this business of body, you must understand that what you're really talking about is influence. Thought that is offered powerfully is very influential thought. And so when you are very sure of your wellness, you are offering very powerful thought. And the cells of your body are receiving that influence, and they are responding accordingly. When you are offering very powerful thoughts of illness, when you have really been frightened by something, when your attention to the negative media has been such, or when you've had a real-life exposure to someone that has been very sick, and so your thoughts are very pressing about the illness, now the influence that you're offering to your body is that of negative illness, you see. It is really as simple as that. Some will say, But Abraham, what about the child that has just been born? And we say, do not assume that that child, though he is not speaking, is not responding to the influence that surrounds him. The influence of the fear of the mother, or the influence that surrounds the mother's experience. Thought is very penetrating.
How can we get to the stage? I mean, it's easy. I know my body will heal that part because I see it do it. But how can we get to the point that we know that all parts of our body will heal? Even the, I mean, that's the part that people are frightened of, the parts they can't see, the diseases that are inside, so to speak.
It is always the unknown that is most frightening.
The fear of the
and
unknown.
So, as there are those things inside of you, they seem more powerful. They seem more ominous. They seem more important. And there are so many who are wanting to influence you toward that thought. In other words, you must understand that there are many who benefit from illness. There are many who are looking for illness. When you go to a physician who has been trained to find something wrong with you, much as in the example that you've offered with your friend, when you go looking for something wrong, it is our promise to you, you will always find something that is wrong. It is law. You cannot continue. Now, you may not find it on the first visit, but if you are convinced that there is something lurking there, or something that could pop up at any moment that you must find in the early stages, if you go looking for something that is wrong, it is our absolute promise to you that sooner or later you will discover something that is wrong. And you, the beliefs that you hold all enter into it. In other words, those who are more youthful are expecting wellness in a more powerful way. But as you get older, then the conditioning or the influence that you should now begin to decline becomes stronger. And so most of you degenerate on a sort of sliding scale that is very much in harmony with what others are doing. But it is because of the influence of the others that you come to expect it, and that is the influence that you offer to the cells of your body, and the cells of your body respond to your thought. We say to you that it is our absolute knowing that your body is responding only to the thought that you are offering. And so if you are wanting wellness, you must stop defending yourself against illness and give your attention to wellness. If you are wanting a slender, strong body, then you must give your attention to the parts of your body that you do acknowledge as well and as you want them to be, in order to attract other things that you are wanting to be.
One last thing I want to ask you about the body and mind is it's a story I've heard. A Dr. Livingston in Africa, a lion caught him and grabbed him and dragged him off with his jaws, and he said that he didn't feel pain. He almost went into a euphoric state at that point, almost like when you see a lion or a cat get any other sort of animal, they kind of go limp right then, even though they're not dead or wounded particularly. It's kind of, the struggle is over. So, but the point I want to make is he said he felt no pain, almost, I think euphoric was the word. Is that a mental condition or is that a physical condition? And is it something that only happens when one being is about to eat another or kill it? Like an animal, or could it be utilized in some way by us conscious beings when there's something that that's painful in our life that we wouldn't have to feel the pain?
First, we will say you cannot accurately separate that which is physical from that which is mental, from that which is coming from your higher or inner being. In other words, you are a physically focused being, yes, and you are a thinking mental being, yes, but the life force or energy that comes forth from within you is offered from a broader perspective. Under such a situation of such dire circumstances where it is likely that you will not recover, in other words, once a lion has you in his jaws, usually he is going to be the victor in the situation. What happens is your inner being intervenes and offers a flow of energy that would be received by you as that sort of euphoric state.
Oh.
Now, it is not necessary that it be in a situation of dire straits, but for most of you, it must reach that proportion before you allow. In other words, it is a sort of giving up. In other words, the man thought that he was done, and it was the giving up that he was experiencing more than anything.
Okay, so I know I've heard you speak that in order to heal ourselves, we want to get our thoughts off of the problem.
Good.
And onto what we're wanting. But if we're in pain, how can we not feel the pain? How can we get our attention off pain long enough to concentrate on what we do want?
You are right. When your toe is throbbing, it is very difficult not to think about the throbbing toe. And we have noticed, as we have been observing our physical friends, that most of you do not think clearly about what you do want until you're living what you don't want. Most of you sort of drift into your day, blundering here and there, not offering any real conscious thought because you do not understand the power of your thought. And you do not offer anything really deliberate until you are faced with something that you do not want. And then once you're faced with something that you do not want, then you attack it fully. Then you give it your full attention, which, knowing law of attraction as we do, only makes things worse. And so our encouragement would be to look for times or segments when you are not feeling such intensity of the throbbing, and then focus upon the well-being. You see, as we said earlier, every subject is really two subjects. You are the attractor, and as you be in any moment in time is your point of attraction. As you be is not just the condition that you stand in, it is your perception or your perspective of the condition that you stand in. And in every moment, no matter what the object of your attention, there are positive and negative aspects. When you look at your physical body, there are many aspects that you could consider, and some of them are positive and some of them are negative. But your state of being and your point of attraction has to do with the attention that you are giving in any point in time. And so let us say that you have not been feeling your best, but you notice it sometimes more than others. At the times when you are feeling good or even neutral, that is the time to acknowledge your well-being. Everything that we've been talking about here today regarding your physical body is very closely, very intricately intertwined with that which we call your inner being. Your inner being is literally offering the life force that flows through you. If we could convince you here in this little bit of time that we are interacting upon this recording that your natural state is one of wellness, one of absolute health, one of perfect bodily conditions, and that if you are experiencing anything other than that, it is only because the balance of thought within you is toward the lack of what you want instead of to what you want, then we believe that all who are hearing this recording would, in the moment of that understanding, be upon their path to perfect health. It is your resistance to illness that causes it in the first place. And it is your resistance to illness that holds it to you once it is there. It is your attention to what you do not want that creates it and holds it in your experience. And so it is logical that attention to what you do want would be appropriate. For most of you, it is not easy for you to define the subtle difference between thinking about what you want and the lack of it. For you say, Abraham, you say I can have anything that I want, and I have been wanting to be well for as long as I can remember. It's all I think about. Why am I not well? And we say, because you are not thinking about being well. You're thinking about being ill. You're thinking, you're wanting from your place of lack.
Well, you say the balance of thought, but, I mean, are you saying balance of thought from the moment we're born or even before we're born?
In other
words,
before.
Is that why someone can be born and have a physical problem?
It is. Just as the balance of your thought now is equaling what you are living, the balance of thought that you held prior to your birth is what equaled what you are living.
I see.
That is a very complex issue. In other words, there are those who have come forth deliberately wanting physical disability because they were wanting the benefit that they believed would come from it. They were wanting to add some balance to their perspective. But the majority of those who are attracting less than wellness are doing it by default. They are doing it not because it is their wanting, but because the balance of their thought is attracting it, because they are not understanding the laws of the universe and are influenced by thought that is surrounding them. It is not different whether you are focused in non-physical or whether you are focused in physical. The balance of your thought is what equals what you are living. The important thing to understand is that it is not a good idea to stand in your perspective and try to evaluate the appropriateness of what anyone else is living, because you will never be able to figure it out. But you always know where you stand relative to what you are wanting. And if you will pay attention to what you are thinking and let your thoughts be guided by the feeling that comes forth within you, you will find yourself guiding your thoughts more of the time in the direction of that which will ultimately please you. In other words, the reason that you feel such fear when you think about cancer is because that thought is not in harmony with your wanting. Anytime you feel negative emotion, it is an indicator that the thought that you are thinking or the words that you are speaking are not in harmony with your greater wanting. And it is not difficult for any of you to understand that what you want is wellness. Therefore, any thought about illness is counterproductive.
So what would you say to us would be the best thing that we could do to either maintain perfect health or regain perfect health or influence others around us toward their perfect health?
Maintaining and regaining are one and the same, and so is influencing others. In other words, live it. That is the way you influence the others. Give your attention to wellness. That is the way you enhance wellness. Give your attention to illness, and that is the way you enhance illness. Get sick, that is really a good way to influence others toward illness. Be well, that is the best way to influence others toward wellness. Now, here is what we are really wanting you to hear regarding this, because we know for those who are in a place where they are not wanting to be, that this Abraham dialogue seems very simplistic. And so we are wanting to give you something here that you can sink your teeth into, something that it is our absolute promise will make a very dramatic difference in your state of physical beingness if you will apply this. We are talking to those of you here who are experiencing health-wise something less than you want, whether you are a little bit out of balance or a lot out of balance. This will bring you to a state of health if you are wanting it. You do not have to fight against illness anymore, because your natural state is one of wellness. And fighting against illness is the reason that it exists within your experience. It started with just a little concern. That little concern grew into more pointed attention, and that more pointed attention grew into physical manifestation, and now your attention is upon the physical manifestation, which is perpetuating more physical manifestation. And so what we are wanting you to understand is that your natural state is one of absolute well-being, and there is not a reason that you would be experiencing otherwise, other than that you have been giving some thought to illness. Friends, you do not have to fight anymore against the illness, but just relax into your wellness. Put yourself in your bed tonight, and as you are going to sleep, feel the magnificent comfort of the bed beneath you. Hold your thoughts upon something in your experience other than your illness. Every moment that you can think about something other than illness, you are cutting the fuel to that illness. In every moment that you think about something other than illness, you are stopping the illness from going forward. In every moment that you are thinking about the illness, you are adding a little more fuel to the fire, so to speak. And so begin tonight by focusing upon the bed beneath you. Notice how comfortable it is. Notice how big it is. Notice the pillow beneath your neck. Notice the fabric upon your skin. Give your attention to something, to anything other than the illness, and preferably to things that bring forth within you either a feeling of well-being or no feeling at all. You're wanting to hold your thoughts upon subjects other than the illness. And as you are able to accomplish that for 5 seconds, For 5 seconds, you have stopped fueling your illness. As you accomplish it for 10 seconds, for 10 seconds, you have stopped fueling the illness. As you think about how good you feel right now, you begin fueling your wellness. As you think about your natural state being one of wellness, you fuel your wellness. With every thought you think, you vibrate. Every thought vibrates. And as you think thoughts of illness, the reason that you feel such negative emotion about it is because that thought is so out of harmony with your greater knowing that you are not resonating with who you really are. And the negative emotion that you feel in the form of concern or anger or fear about your illness is your real indicator that you have severed yourself, or at least put a very strong restriction of the flow of energy between your inner being and who you really are. Your wellness comes forth as you allow the full flow of energy, non-physical energy, from your inner being. And so as you think, I am well, or I am becoming well, I am whole, it is my natural state to be well, those thoughts vibrate in a place that is in harmony with that which your inner being knows to be, and you receive the full benefit of your own thought energy that comes forth from your inner being. Every thought vibrates. And so focus upon thoughts that make you feel good, which will attract others and others and others and others and others until your vibrational frequency will raise to the place that your inner being can fully envelop you. And then you will be in the place of well-being. And your physical apparatus will catch up very quickly. It is our absolute promise to you. You may begin to watch for physical evidence, dramatic physical evidence of your recovery. For it is law. We've enjoyed very much this interaction. There is great love here for you.
Thank you.
We are complete.
Thank you.